Welcome to Two Travel Dads Podcast. Here we share our favorite destinations, travel tips, ideas for saving money, and stories from our adventures. Be sure to check out our show notes at twotraveldads.com/podcast-episodes. Hey, welcome back to Two Travel Dads Podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm still Chris.
Yep, it's true. And today we are finally starting our series on Yellowstone National Park, which I'm really excited about because it's my favorite. And yeah.
Yeah. What state is that in?
Well, that's a great question. It happens to be in several states. Yellowstone is in both Wyoming and Montana.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. So it is in the northwestern corner of my, of Wyoming. And yeah, it overlaps just a little bit into Montana, up in that same corner. There's some parts of the park that you can get to without having to go through the gates. Yeah, all that. We'll talk about it. Anyways, so what do you love about Yellowstone National Park?
I think it's all the geothermal areas. You know, everything from the mud volcanoes to the paint pots and geysers and all of the springs. I think that's what I love about Yellowstone, because it's not something that you find anywhere else. At least that I've been, or it's easy to get to.
Say,
because
I was going
to
say, actually, New Zealand, Iceland,
yes,
China.
But, yeah, but in the U.S.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, no, I think that is, and you know what? We've got a whole podcast episode coming up all about geysers and all that cool geothermal stuff. So, yeah, that is definitely one of my favorite aspects of Yellowstone. And I think that's what makes it so cool for the kids each time we go. But the other thing, well, there's two other things that I really, really love. One is the abundance of wildlife. And it's really interesting because, I mean, I've been going to Yellowstone since I was tiny, tiny. And watching how the wildlife has changed is really fascinating. So we'll talk about that when we actually dig more into wildlife in a different episode. But yeah. So wildlife is one reason I love it. And the other is the views and stuff. So I know that might sound kind of generic, but Yellowstone has some of the most incredible views, both across unique formations as well as just like beautiful lakes and random ponds.
That's why I think you'll see a lot of pictures of Yellowstone on Earth Picks.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. So,
and I think what's also cool about it is that it changes frequently, meaning like with the seasons, right? You're going to see something different in summer than you are in winter, like drastically different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because Yellowstone is so high, you know, it's up in the caldera of a huge, I'm not going to say an extinct volcano, because clearly when you go there, it's not extinct. It just hasn't done a massive super explosion in a long time.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, I'm totally okay with that too. But yeah, no, it really does change so much over time, as well as season to season, as well as within a season. So I was just thinking about, what was it? I think 1991. It's a long time ago.
Oh yeah, I was in like seventh grade.
Yeah. We were in Yellowstone at the beginning of July. This was with me and my family growing up. And one day it was hot. And then that night it started dumping rain. And then in the middle of the night it got quiet. And we're like, okay, whatever. It stopped raining finally. Got up and we had 4 inches of snow. And it was insane. And it was kind of amazing because driving through the park, you know, there's bison everywhere. And the bison had snow covering their like front haunches that, you know, has that really super thick layer of fur. And then not their rear ends. And yeah, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
And that was just in a 2-day span in the summer.
Not something I would want to experience while camping unless I was prepared for it.
I will say that that experience colored how I look at camping and why I like to stay in cabins and lodges over camping.
But camping has its moments for sure.
It's true. What's something fun that you enjoyed? Like, what's one of your fun memories from Yellowstone? I mean, you've been 3 times.
Been 3 times. I think one of the coolest places to check out is Mammoth Hot Springs area. Mm-hmm. It's super unique. And you can always find elk around there. which are really cool to see. So I really like that area. And then just hiking in general. You know, there's so many beautiful places to go hike. You know, one of my other favorite places is Yellowstone Falls. So we've got some really great, beautiful pictures and stuff there. And I think taking the trails to go out and see that viewpoint is really amazing.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that in a different episode.
Well, you asked me what I liked.
I know.
So
but no, I was talking about, like, what's a fun memory that, you have? Either like from our first trip when we were way, way younger, like what was that, like 2006 maybe?
I just remember
you
getting
your camera 5 minutes into our visit.
Oh, it's the worst. I had this like brand new camera. I hadn't gotten to use it yet. And we were going to the paint pots area.
Artist paint pots.
And I had my camera out. I was ready to take pictures. And I think I took a couple and I was like relaxing my hand on the fence or something. And there's this, I looked down, there's this massive like hornet or something on my hand. And I flung my hand. And I smacked the like fence area and my camera hit the fence too. And it broke.
I'm pretty sure it was just like a
small
fly.
I didn't even get stung. No. So I do remember that. But I also remember just being stopped by the herds of buffalo.
Bison.
Sorry, bison. Whatever you want to call it. You'll hear, if I could only speak, you'll hear both when you're in the park. So I don't know what it is, really. I think it's like tomato, tomato, buffalo, bison, something like that. But just getting stopped by them. You know, and I remember just taking pictures of them outside of the sunroof because it felt safe.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. And I think this last time it was hilarious going through, oh gosh, what was it? The, an area with a lot of, like geysers, geothermal areas, but it was so smelly. Remember the kids? Mm-hmm. Like, what was that place that we were at?
Oh, by the barrel spring where every time we drove past it.
Yeah, and there was
it.
Like a dragon spring, I think, that was there too. Like,
oh, well, that's it. Spring. That's the mud volcano.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, the mud volcano early in the morning with the boys, right? And we were hiking through there. It was cold outside, but it stunk so bad. And that's all they could talk
about. And the kids
are
so dramatic that it's, you know, ruining their experience because it smells so bad.
Yeah. Anyways, I got some good video of it.
It's hilarious. Yeah, no, that was great. I think my most special, and this is kind of weird and emotional, my most special Yellowstone memory was on our first trip to Yellowstone as a family, like the four of us. It was 5 years ago. It was in 2015. And it was when we first drove into the park. And oh my gosh, I'm totally going to cry. Anyways, when we first drove into the park and I realized that we got to take our kids to Yellowstone. Anyways,
I never got to go.
I tend
as a
to
kid.
Well up when I talk about emotional things, and for me that was really emotional.
Yeah.
And I thought it was the most special thing because I didn't think we'd get to ever have kids or anything like that. And then we actually got to have them and take them to Yellowstone, which is a really special place to me. So,
yeah.
Anyways,
it was awesome.
Moving on.
They loved it.
But yeah, and then this last year I got to go to Yellowstone 3 different times, which I thought was awesome.
Oh yeah, for you it was great.
I know. Yeah, no, it was delightful to get to spend so much time in the park and really.
Did you stay in the park? Where'd you stay?
Are we there yet? Oh, we are.
Where?
Okay, so we have an outline that we're going with to make sure that we stay on track.
I don't know where this outline is. I just had a question.
Anyways, you know, we've stayed in several different places, but why don't we go ahead and transition into that and where to stay when you want to visit Yellowstone National Park? Because there are lots of choices and you don't have to stay in the park.
But you want to.
So, and we'll explain why you want to in just a moment.
Because you only have so much time to be in the park. You don't want to waste like an hour and a half trying to get out of it.
Yeah. So there's some really awesome and amazing camping in Yellowstone. Our number one pick is always going to be camping at the Canyon Campground because it's a huge campground and there's plenty of very private spots and there's also, you know, less private spots in the woods. But it's also right by the grocery store that's available in the park. That's by a gas station. There's actually some restaurants. It's by the biggest of the visitor centers.
Laundry
and showers. So if you're camping in Yellowstone, Canyon is the winner.
Yeah. It's like I can't, but I still need showers.
Yeah. So, I mean, Canyon is going to get our top vote. Other places that you can camp, though, include like down at Fishing Bridge, which is right by Lake Yellowstone or Yellowstone Lake. You can camp over by the Madison area off the Madison River, by Mammoth. There's so many campgrounds.
I think there's a lot.
Yeah. So to do that, though, you do want to make sure that you make a camping reservation as soon as you know you want to go to Yellowstone, because...
Where do you do that?
You do that at recreation.gov. Hmm. Yeah. And that way you can, and there will be links in the show notes. That way you can both pick your site as well as make sure that you actually get a spot. So there are very few same day walk up places in Yellowstone, and in the middle of summer, it's going to be busy. So
yeah, it is.
Good times. So that's camping in the park. That's got to be probably our number one pick. If you've got it in the budget though, there are several lodges/hotels/cabins in the park as well. So, Canyon Lodge is right there by the area we were talking about, by the Canyon Campground. It's pretty cool. It's very retro. When I say retro, I'm talking about like 60s. So the dining room is super retro with some cool mid-century fixtures and stuff. There is the really cool like soda fountain area that's available for like simple lunch and stuff. That's all at the Canyon Lodge. The Mammoth, up at Mammoth, there's the hotel, and it just went through a huge renovation, and it's beautiful. And it's just right there, walking distance to the big hill of Terraced Hot Springs. The Lake Hotel, that's going to be at the upper end of prices. it's beautiful. It's right on Lake Yellowstone, right by the Bridge Bay Visitor Center, which that's a really cool visitor center. I like it. It's got all the taxidermy birds.
That was interesting.
I like that place. And then there's the Roosevelt Cabins, and those are over by... Tower Junction. There's the Grand Loop Road that goes all, you know, around the park and connects all the different spots. The road that heads east towards like Cook City and the Lamar Valley, right there where the road branches off, you find the Roosevelt Cabins, and that's also where you can do horseback riding stuff. And then there is, oh gosh, at Old Faithful, that's where the bulk of the hotel rooms are for the park. There's the Old Faithful Inn, the Old Faithful Lodge, and the Snow Lodge. And those are, you know, those are all going to be, yeah, I'd say probably booked up pretty far in advance. The Snow Lodge is the only one that's open in the winter, though. And it's not even open all winter, I don't think. I don't know. You don't know either.
I have no idea.
I will research and I will put the seasons on there. But yeah, it's really, if you can afford it in your Yellowstone plan, which a lot of people plan national park trips because, you know, it's camping, it's being outdoors.
Yeah, I think it depends on where you're coming from, though. I mean, there's so many international visitors to Yellowstone, and I think that they also book up a lot of the lodges, too, as well, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip sometimes.
It's true. There are some huge tour groups that come through Yellowstone.
You'll see the flags and the buses. And,
yeah, and they do stay at most of the national park lodges, so... That's a good call out. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so lots of options there. This last trip that we did, we stayed in West Yellowstone.
Yeah, just right outside the park.
Yeah, so we've got some feedback. So it was nice to be able to stay in West Yellowstone because there's lots of hotels for, like, if you want to stick to, like, a travel brand that you work, that you visit a lot of places with. Like, we do a lot with Best Western. In the past, we've done... work with Holiday Inn, so like we've got points and stuff. There's lots of those sort of places in West Yellowstone. It's actually a cool little town. It's got its own, businesses, its own culture.
It's good restaurants.
Yep, it's got restaurants, some cool museums, all that.
Yeah, and access to the park.
And access to the park, so it's a really popular entrance. But here is where the pickle is.
When you say entrance, what do you mean?
Because you're staying outside of the park. It has a park entrance, like a gate that you go through so that you can pay.
How many does Yellowstone have? Like, which one is this? This is the West entrance?
This is the West Yellowstone entrance. There's five different entrances to the park. So there's West Yellowstone. There is Gardner, which is on the north side, and that's where the Roosevelt Arch is, which is really cool. And then there is the Cook City entrance, which I went through that for the first time this summer. And then there is the all of a sudden I spaced on what the other entrance on the east side of the park is called. So I will look that up.
Yeah. But well,
and then there's the one that goes down to the Grand Tetons to the south. So, yeah, there's lots of, there's five different entrances. What were you just going to say?
Well, I was going to say, while you were looking at the names of the other entrances, I was just going to say, what's great about being in, staying in West Yellowstone is that, you know, you can get lodging that is more economical than what you would get inside the park, and you don't have to camp. So that's a real good pro, and you have good dining options too, which is really nice. There's also other activities that you can do in West Yellowstone if you wanted a break from the park. So I guess that's a bonus too. But what I'll say in terms of the big negative is that to get into the park from that entrance, it takes a long time to get to your destination and other parts of the park. It's pretty easy getting in, but when you're ready to leave Yellowstone, plan appropriately because you will be stuck in the car for a long time. And that's for, you know, because there's wildlife.
Not just because of car traffic. It is totally wildlife.
There is wildlife. There will be one bison on the road. And it will back you up for 2 hours.
Yeah, and it's literally because it's like one single bison who's lonely and has nothing better to do than to walk as slow as possible. Yeah.
And weave in and out of traffic.
Yeah, so I mean, it's great that with building roads into Yellowstone, we've created these wonderful thoroughfares for wildlife. But it's these same elk and bison that just jauntily go for an afternoon stroll that make it so that staying in West Yellowstone is the biggest pain in the butt.
But... no pun intended. Also, you can get some Nat Geo quality photos.
Oh my gosh,
when that happens.
True. Yeah.
Because usually when you end up passing the wildlife that's there, it's pretty close, which is what happened this last time that we were there.
Yeah, it's good times. But you know what, though? That time that we went in at like 6 o'clock in the morning, like looking
that was
for
cool.
wildlife, that was perfect.
Yeah, that was awesome. We got in there and we saw lots of great wildlife. Plus,
we saw the elk
to,
crossing the Madison River in like the early morning steam.
Yeah, it was.
Oh my gosh, that was
really
amazing.
Beautiful. And just to see, exactly how the air looked so different in the morning when we got there. I think it must have been like 30 degrees in the morning,
oh
or if
my
not
gosh, it was
colder.
So cold.
But it was so beautiful.
But yeah, so I mean, I guess that's also a perk of staying in West Yellowstone is that every time you come into the park, you have this gorgeous drive along the Madison River where, I mean, we've seen swans and bald eagles and elk and bison. I've seen moose there. It's been a long time since we've seen a moose in Yellowstone, so we'll talk about that more later. But yeah, man, it's gorgeous, but it is really a time suck to go in and out of the park from staying in West Yellowstone.
Yeah.
So that's that, you know.
But like I said, it's a good option. So if you don't want to camp... and you can't afford the lodges or they're not available inside the park, at least you have an option to be able to still go.
Yeah, and you know, Gardner is very similar to that in that just outside of the Roosevelt Arch, the north entrance, Gardner has lots of both small hotels, cool little like trendy and boutique-y rustic places. Actually... this summer, on a different trip, I got to stay in the Sage Lodge, which was, what is it, maybe 40 minutes north of the Yellowstone entrance, and it was absolutely gorgeous. It's a boutique mountain lodge that they do their own like fishing trips and stuff, and it was one of the most beautiful places I've ever gotten to stay, and you're just right there at the base of the mountains right outside of Yellowstone National Park, and it's amazing. So, but in the town of Gardner the itself, there's plenty of options. So it's another good choice. And I would actually, for our next stay, if we don't stay in the park, I would opt to stay in Gardner over West Yellowstone. So two other spots to consider, though. Cook City is the northeastern entrance. So that's when you are coming down out of Red Lodge, you go through the Beartooth Mountains and on the Beartooth Highway. It is the, I drove it and it was nerve-wracking. Absolutely gorgeous and amazing. It's, the scenery is one of a kind with the most beautiful alpine lakes and, it's beautiful. So that's the Beartooth side. And then the, east entrance that we were getting ready to talk about is the Cody, Wyoming side. So Cody itself has, it's own town, right? It's very, very old west and super cool. But also, if you're going to be staying in Cody instead of in the park, that is going to be a long drive because then you have to drive around Yellowstone Lake to get to anything. So just things to consider. One other town that we stayed in and accessed the park was Big Sky. So we probably actually should record a podcast just about Big Sky because it's just crazy.
Well, there's only one thing you need to know.
Oh, is it about barbecue?
It's about barbecue. Yeah. What was the name of that river?
So each of our times going through Big Sky this
you'll
summer.
You'll have to wait and listen.
With the Gallatin River.
You know I like food. Yeah.
We'll talk about it in the Big Sky episode.
Fast chicken.
But no, Big Sky is another place you can stay. Again, it's going to be one of those situations where you're going to have to drive pretty far to get into like the main attractions of Yellowstone National Park. But it is an option. And itself, Big Sky is a resort town full of hikes and just beautiful spots. So it's kind of like the bonus to going to Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. So, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else really to call out about staying outside the park. But no, I think we kind of nailed it. I mean, yeah, just be aware that there are many options, but they come at the price of a long drive to some of the main attractions inside the park.
Yeah, so. It all depends on where you're at. But you also never know what you're going to see. Each time it's a unique experience.
Yeah. So with that, let's take a quick moment just to chit-chat about wildlife. Sound good?
Sure.
Okay. So what is your favorite thing to see in Yellowstone as far as wildlife goes?
It's usually the buffalo or bison.
Bison.
It's usually the bison. and it's because it's kind of a guarantee. Mm-hmm. So I've seen it each and every time. Elk, it's a little bit more rare, I guess, unless you're out in Mammoth. Gosh, that was a guarantee. So I'd have to say the bison, just because I see it every time.
And their numbers are shocking. Like they're literally
huge.
You'll see one,
so many.
And you're like, oh my gosh!
But when
it's
you
a
see
bison.
The babies.
Baby bison are adorable.
Those are cute.
Elliot freaks out when he says baby bison because mm-hmm. they're just so cute. But so you could see one and you're impressed because when you see one, it's usually just, you know, this huge bull bison. And then you'll come around a corner and, oh my gosh, there's 1,000 more just sweeping across the hillsides. And it's amazing. So, I mean, the best places to see them, and we'll get more into this across the other Yellowstone episodes, but the best places to see them are going to be the Hayden Valley, which goes in between Tower and Tower and Fishing Bridge, like down West Thumb Geyser Basin area. The Hayden Valley is right there. And then the other spot is the Lamar Valley, which is in between Tower Junction and the northeast entrance. So those are the two spots where you're basically guaranteed to see a herd of bison. So, yeah. And then the elk, you know, like Chris was saying, Mammoth. I think we always
you have
see
to
there.
Go to Mammoth.
Yeah. I mean, they'll close off parts of the trails because there'll be a bull who just decided to set up shop, you know, right next to the path, and you know, they've got their big racks of antlers and it's just not safe. So I was actually, I was there in September and I was hiking at Mammoth with some friends and we were kind of watching this bull elk come down a trail across this little valley from us, you know, probably like 200 yards away. Just kept on watching him and he kept on stopping and bugling and it was very, you know, it's the start of the elk rut. And we kept watching him and kept getting closer and closer and closer. And then he went and he sat on a hot spring and it was really amazing. And he was kind of rubbing his antlers on it and he was rubbing his nose in it. He looked like kind of like he had a cocaine nose because he had so much of the white travertine calcium stuff all over him. And then people were yelling at him. So he was starting to get worked
irritated.
Up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So elk, bison, they're both big, really cool, big ticket items to get to see. Moose used to be really, really common in Yellowstone. And
haven't seen it.
Yeah, Chris has never seen a moose in Yellowstone. I've seen many, but not for years. they've migrated. So now the place to go for moose is down in the Tetons.
Mm. So haven't seen it there.
Well, you've only been in the Tetons once.
I've seen it in Rocky Mountain National Park. So
yes,
that's
we've
cool.
seen moose in Rocky Mountain National Park and up in Glacier National Park too. So it's just.
I haven't.
Yes, you have.
In Glacier?
Yes. I've been with you when you've seen
right.
moose.
That's right.
Bull moose, cows, I didn't babies.
See them. We looked through the binoculars and we thought that was them. But it wasn't as clear as it was when I saw them in Rocky Mountain.
So
National
I'll be
Park.
Sure to add to the show notes a picture of Chris standing in front of a mama moose and a baby moose in a lake. Do you remember that? The kids remember it. I remember it. Do you want me to pull up a picture to show you
oh,
right
I
now?
Oh, I do remember.
Okay, there
okay.
you go.
Yeah.
And then on that same hike on the way back, there was a bull moose in the bushes. Do you remember that? As we walked back, that there was a bull moose.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that did happen.
Okay. Anyways, so yes, so now we remember that there are moose in Glacier.
Oh, I didn't say that there wasn't. It's whether or not I saw it.
Anyways, so there are moose in Yellowstone, but they are few and far between, and just gotta watch for them in marshy areas close to the lake. Other highlights in Yellowstone are
those geysers.
We're talking about wildlife.
Oh.
You're I'm just like
kidding.
Out there.
No, I'm kidding. What about those
bighorn
trumpeter
sheep?
Swans?
Oh, the trumpeter swans.
No, I haven't seen bighorn sheep there.
Oh.
Not what? In Yellowstone. I've seen them in Glacier.
We just saw bighorn sheep in Yellowstone.
In Yellowstone?
Yes. I have pictures. Okay.
I saw them in Glacier, for sure.
Yes, we also saw them in Glacier. Good times. Oh, the trumpeter swans is what we're getting ready to talk about. So, trumpeter swans, you can see them on the Madison River, which is on the west side of the park, coming in from West Yellowstone, in Swan Valley. Who'd have thunk that you'd see them in Swan Valley? And that goes in between like Norris Geyser Basin and Mammoth Hot Springs, and then on the Yellowstone River. And we had a really special experience tonight. Unfortunately, destroyed the video files by accidentally deleting them and then trying to restore them. So we don't have the video anymore. But we got to watch a small flock of trumpeter swans just hanging out on the Yellowstone River early in the morning while the steam was rising.
It was so beautiful.
Yeah. And then they started honking and then they all took off and just swam flew so slowly.
You saw the reflection.
Yeah.
It was just beautiful.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
So I think trumpeter swans is also like a big, I'd call them a big ticket wildlife. For Yellowstone. Yeah. And then you can also watch out for things like antelope, which we saw some great antelope.
We did see a couple.
The wolves, they hang out over in the Lamar Valley. Bears, both grizzly and black bears, which this last time we just saw some black bears.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
We saw it briefly. It was hard to see.
Yeah. And, you know, we've seen coyotes, we've seen deer, but yeah.
And not a ground squirrel.
Marmots.
Marmots.
Prairie dogs.
And prairie dogs. Thank you. Prairie dogs.
Yeah. No, so basically there's plenty of wildlife in Yellowstone, even if you don't get to see a moose, which, I mean, that's what a lot of people are going for. But yeah, either way.
No, you'll see bison.
Yeah. Bison, if nothing else. So, well, I think that kind of wraps up this episode, just giving you the rundown of Yellowstone and kind of where to stay and what to look forward to. We're going to have some more episodes that focus on the geysers and...
And the food in the park?
No, we're not going to talk...
I'm just kidding.
No, gosh, no. you made me lose my train of thought. Oh, yeah. We've got an episode coming up all about geysers as well as recommended routes for touring the park, including like picnic spots and stuff. So watch for those. And if you get any questions, be sure to leave us comments on the blog, give us a rating, whatever you want to do. And I guess we'll talk to you later.
We will.
All right.
All right, guys. See you next time.
Two Travel Dads podcast is written by Rob and Chris Taylor and produced by Rob Taylor in Squamish, Washington. If you would like to be on Two Travel Dads podcast or sponsor it, please visit us at twotraveldads.com/work.